Welcome to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio with information that can save your life. Here from balmy North Carolina, where it's over 70 degrees today in the middle of January. Interesting how that works out. On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world. We have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life, and administer biological weapons nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our genetic structure. Where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve, and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet. Who suppress the natural solutions to all of these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection, and as we will be discussing today, steal everything we have under the guise of guardians. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. If you haven't already done so, I suggest you go to my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. There you can go to the Vaccine Induced Disease tab, to click on the diagrams that I've created. The first diagram is the big picture of all diseases, and listen to the lecture that's posted below the diagrams that you can just click on and listen to me explaining them. My other website is drcarley.com, drcarley.com, which is much scarier, as I have documents on there, including inoculations of true weapons of mass destruction, etc. It's very important for all of us to check things out for ourselves, because we have been lied to about everything, and that's why I tell people, don't believe me either. Check things out for yourself, because what we are dealing with is a corruption and fraud caused by an evil so vast that it's not even possible to conceive of this level of evil if you have a conscience. Instead, you must investigate it and check it out for yourself as you are able in order to learn what is going on. That information in itself can save your life, but of course, ultimately, our goal must be to stop the psychopaths controlling the world. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. To learn how to do consults, click on the services tab on my reversing vaccine-induced diseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarley@gmail.com or call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number which works from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, 888-321-6751. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial up for you. My Skype username is drcarley1, but if you can contact me by the toll-free, I request you do that instead. I don't like to sit in front of my computer any more than I am. But the Skype username is drcarley1. Always remember, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, try to teach you what I would do if I were. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where today our answer is going to be theft by court-appointed guardians. But let me just finish my intro. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carley Archives. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 800-313-9443. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on. So as not to cause interference with whoever speaking. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week with my guest. And, of course, please support the Republic Broadcasting Network if you appreciate the shows which are broadcast here. I suggest you let them know which are your favorite shows. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone is purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally every day for myself and all my pets. As I said, the answer to what's ailing America today is theft by court-appointed guardians. My special guest is Marty Oakley. She also has a show on blogtalkradio.com/ Marty, M-A-R-T-I, hyphen Oakley, O-A-K-L-E-Y, which is on every Sunday at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. So you can listen to her show later on tonight. And I appreciate her being on my show today to let you know about yet another level that we are being lied to, stolen from, and cheated by the corrupt legal system in line with the corrupt hospitals through this guardianship situation. So welcome to the show, Marty. Thank you so much for being on today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, I would like to start out, guardians are appointed in many different ways. Anytime that anyone can claim that, especially an elderly person, is not mentally capable of managing their estate, their bills, whatever the case may be, the court can appoint a guardian, which can then go in and steal everything, and this has been happening for a number of years. But one of the most disgusting things that I found out about recently is how this is related to unpaid hospital bills, which are created in the first place intentionally as large as possible to make money for the hospitals. And when we spoke the other night, you had informed me of a new specialist, which I didn't even know about because I left the hospital system in the early 90s, could you please inform the listeners what a hospitalist is?
Yes, a lot of people have been seeing and hearing about hospitalists. I've seen them as guests on certain shows on TV, and they're being touted as an in-house, available all the time doctor for patients. And there can be one, or there can be several, or there can be one assigned to a floor, to each floor of the hospital. In many cases, Dr. Carley, what they are doing, and they advertise it as one of the top booming industries up and coming in the United States, they are getting together in groups and selling their services to various hospitals. Now, their claim is...
Let me just interrupt you, because the question immediately comes up, what the heck do we need a hospitalist for? Are they pretending that these doctors are patient advocates, or what are they selling them as?
Well, supposedly these people are there to make sure, and this is key because this is one of those double-sided coins. You need to look at both sides of this, that the patient gets all the care that they actually need, that all of the care applicable to their condition and the reasons they're in the hospital is being provided, that adequate medication is being given in the correct dosage, and the hospitalist is the one who actually now administers that medication. They also promote, of course, vaccines and that kind of thing, but they are also instrumental as the patient comes into the hospital. And once a diagnosis is made of what we think is wrong, let's just say the patient has mild dementia. One of the first jobs of the hospitalist is to begin an asset search. He doesn't, or she doesn't do this actually themselves. They have a staff that does this. They begin an asset search to determine how the bill is going to be paid and if the bill should exceed Medicare, Medicaid provisions. Are there any personal assets available that could be marshaled to help pay the bill? Now, once the patient is admitted, the hospitalist's job is to make sure, it says in all their advertising, that that patient is totally taken care of, that everything they should get, they are getting. But here's the real deal. Their job is to make money for that hospital. So every diagnosis comes with an accompanying schedule of available therapies, treatments, testing, blood work, medications, so on and so forth. And it is that hospitalist job to make sure that absolutely every one of those that can be activated is activated so that the hospital can bill for that service. They are there to help the hospital make a profit. And
right.
This is
it has nothing to do with getting the patient well. Because as I've been talking about for years, in fact, just the diagnostic tests alone can kill you. For example, CAT scans and MRIs are usually given with a contrast medium, which can cause renal failure. So they're going to do basically the way I see it is everything that they can do to not only make the hospital money, but to keep that bed filled as long as possible with no consideration to the financial constraints of the Medicare or the insurance, because obviously if the patient is in the hospital for a long time and every bit of their assets is eaten up, what are they going to do, end up on the street? So please tell us more about what you've seen and what you've investigated and how this works, because of course one reason that they sold the country Obamacare is they're always saying how many thousands or millions of people don't have insurance. I haven't had insurance for over 15 years. I will never have insurance. I do my own stuff. I know how to take care of my own health. If I get in a major car accident, you know, they'll have to drag me to the hospital unconscious, basically. But, of course, the way it's going to work with the insurance now is you're going to be forced to get vaccines to keep your insurance. You're going to be forced to get mammograms which cause cancer, et cetera, et cetera. But what they're telling the public is that the public is paying for the hospital care of these people that don't have insurance. And this whole guardianship proves that that's a scam, because there is no such thing as unpaid hospital care. They will go after everything you have and put you on the street to get to that
They'll
bill
go
pay.
After everything your kids have.
Tell us more.
What they do to these old people, in particular in the hospital, the hospitalist comes in, tells them who they are, and that they're there as their personal. Now, you have to understand, the minute the hospitalist enters the picture, your primary care physician has just been replaced. Your primary care, your own personal doctor, is no longer in control of your case.
Wow.
Okay? So when these people come in the room, refuse their services. Tell them you do not need their services. Now, what they do immediately is get this assessment, what's wrong with you, and then they have a whole listing of tables and codes by the insurance companies and now the oncoming Obamacare of what services could be applicable to whatever your diagnosis is. Now, let me say this. The opportunity here to add diagnoses or to exaggerate them in order to access more of this billing is just absolutely terrifying. And this is what is happening many times. Now, ultimately, what these people will do at the end, one of the things they say is we save the hospital money because with us there on staff all the time, people stay usually about a day, maybe a half a day less than they would under a regular doctor's care. We get them out of there quicker. What they don't tell you is that the readmission rate is sky high on these people. And on a second admission, when you're readmitted for the same problem, let's say you're a senior, you got a little touch of dementia, and you come in a second time because the medication this hospitalist put you on is making you crazy as a bat out of hell, well, now you need to be in a nursing home. You need to be in a lockdown facility. And by the way, some friends of mine own one right over here, and that's where you're going. And this is what these people do. That is what they are there for. Another selling point they use is when we order tests, we have them back in a matter of hours, not a week. Well, if you can get them back in a matter of hours, why can't the hospital?
Exactly.
We omit the obvious in these things. But when these people show up, they have APS, Adult Protective Services, which if you see those people coming, you need to grab your stuff and take off running. They have predatory professional fiduciaries on speed dialers. They have judges that they work with in the probate system that will issue an emergency order for petition for emergency guardianship immediately, no questions asked. We have attorneys on speed dial that do nothing but prey on elderly people with large estates. And God help you, if you come into any hospital in this country and it is found out that you have any amount of property or cash or investments, you will be lucky if you leave there alive. And if you do leave there, it will simply be to some facility where they can imprison you, isolate you, forcibly medicate you, and when your estate has been tapped out, you just conveniently drop over dead, Dr. Carly, within hours.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Okay, there's music. We're going to a break, Marty. And definitely I want to get into this more after the break. This is so important for people to know this information. To save your elderly loved one's life and property. Can't even imagine. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is by court-appointed guardians with my special guest, Marty Oakley, who has a show on Blood Talk Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, Marty, I've been talking about guarding your loved ones in the hospital for years, because the reason I left medicine in the first place in the early 1990s was I witnessed euthanasia, experimentation on poor people, research fraud. Those were the three top main things. And then after my son was brain damaged from vaccines, I went down that rabbit hole, and that's become a black hole. What I've tried to tell people for years is that it's very important for you to have a loved one there watching you over you 24/7 to make sure that not only any mistakes are made, but that, for example, diagnostic tests, which you're not going to act on, are not done, especially if they have very serious side effects. And that when you go into the hospital to begin with, as you sign your admission forms, somebody has to read those line by line and cross out anything you don't agree with, because basically, if you don't, you are allowing them to do whatever they want, including, now, obviously, appoint a hospitalist. So people have to take charge of what's going on, and not just let the hospital do whatever they want. Until you go through something like this, you can't even imagine. The hospitals are now actually government institutions, protected by immunity and all kinds of other things. And their goal is to keep you in the hospital as long as possible. In fact, if they can somehow get you into the ICU, and that's pretty easy to do, for example, giving a mismatched blood transfusion, I've seen that many times, then obviously your stay is going to be much longer, and they're going to be able to drain you dry. So please take it away from there, especially in terms of how the judges and the attorneys, especially the probate judges, they're all involved in this. If they can find any excuse to appoint a guardian, the guardian can sell your house, can take everything you want. As a matter of fact, I just heard that commercial for the Republic Trading Group, you know, basically protecting your assets with gold and silver and such. I wonder if they can protect your assets from the hospitalists and the guardians, because apparently these people have the ability to steal everything you have. And once you're sucked into that system, there's nothing you can do, because, of course, you're also going to be paying the fee of the guardian, who can charge anything they want. As a matter of fact, I've seen this many times, and people think, oh, if the elderly person is a family loved one that could act as their guardian, they won't appoint a court-ordered guardian. Tell us about how that works.
Well, let me, where to start on this? It has nothing to do with whether you have available family, because many, many instances, I would say probably upwards of 90%, there is an available family member who is willing to care for that individual and is very capable of caring for them. But that's not what this is about. When you are put under guardianship, and they don't have to have any evidence, Dr. Carly, the predator guardian simply has to state to the court bogus charges against the family. I got one predator operating down there in Seminole County, Florida, who has used the same verbatim charges against at least 18 different families and their family members in front of the same judge and has never one time produced any shred of evidence that the things she stated ever occurred, that the elderly individual was ever in a state of neglect or in harm's way or in danger. She simply goes in and makes these same statements over and over again. She's immediately granted guardianship. And you have to understand, your audience has to understand what happens to you when you become a ward of the state. You are dead in the law. You no longer exist as a human being. In fact, in many of these agencies, you are referred to as a unit. Okay? As a unit. You have no rights. You have no constitutional rights. You are stripped of being a human being. You have become a commodity. You are owned, in fact, by that predatory guardian. And they work in tandem with several attorneys that they do this continually with, and the same judges they work continually with, and the same APS personnel, and they do this over and over and over. And one guardian in particular, in 2007, filed absolute and abject total bankruptcy. She is now a multimillionaire many times over and has never done anything except be a professional predator.
Exactly. Now, and, of course, let me just say, obviously the judges involved are getting kickbacks from this. And you can be sure it's not a coincidence that you have the same guardian being appointed and the same judge hearing the case. I mean, how obvious could it be? And what's the family left to do?
Well, in many cases,
up theirs? The family have to spend more money and get their own attorney, who, of course, is working for the court by definition.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. There's the music again. We're getting to the meat of it now. This is very important. Okay, folks, we'll be back. Stay tuned. After the news. And we're back with Wealth Selling America, where our answer today is set by court-appointed guardians with my special guest, Marty Oakley. And, Marty, as I was saying before the break, a lot of people now are trying to, you know, transform their retirement account, whatever type it may be. I'm not familiar with them because I don't have a retirement account. They've stolen everything I have through court proceedings already. But do you know of anybody that has tried to do that? Is that a protection, or do they have a way to steal, you know, say gold or silver or whatever somebody has separated off for themselves? Can they go after that as well?
They can go after anything you've got. Once you become a ward of the state, and as I said, Dr. Carley, you now become owned. You are human property owned by that predator. And you immediately lose all your rights. You have no right to free speech, to speak for yourself, to hire your own attorney, to hire your own doctors, to get a second opinion, to get anybody in there to advocate for you. You have no rights.
How did this come to be?
Predicated on the Child Protective Services. They actually set the system in place. They got it fine-tuned and the bugs worked out of it. And, you know, we make a huge fortune off of snatching children away from their families. We lease them out to pharmaceutical companies then because they're a ward of the state. They do not exist in the law. They become units. And we lease those units out for vaccine testing, for psychotropic drug testing, for things that would absolutely terrify you so badly that you couldn't stand it. And we do this to these kids on a daily basis.
Yeah.
APS, just like Child Protective Service, is predicated on a quota system. That means every quarter they have to state how many bodies they think they're going to move, how many units they're going to move through their agency. Now, if they don't make that quota, they're sanctioned that first quarter. If they miss a second quarter of meeting their quota, then they lose all their federal funding. In other words, the money stream dries up. So when they estimate what this quota is going to be, they are estimating how many bodies they have to walk through the system in order to make all the agency expenses to meet payroll and provide for all their overhead. this is not about helping anyone. This is job protection. It is about funding streams. It is about things that most of us would have nightmares about if we were involved in it. And this is the same thing that's going on with these elderly people. Now, the way they do...
Let me just say, in keeping the hospitals basically, having as many patients as possible at all times. As a matter of fact, I listen to C-SPAN a lot, and I was amazed one day. I was listening to some talking head, and he actually made an analogy between hospitals and hotels. You know, you have to keep a certain minimum amount of people in there. And so what does that tell you? Is the pretending that they want to, you know, get rid of the fraud and abuse and get people taken care of and moved out as soon as possible. In actuality, the exact opposite is happening.
Well, and that's the thing. It's Medicare. We keep hearing all this talk about, oh, we've got to cut the Medicare. Oh, Medicare is killing us, I tell you. You remember back during Bush the Dolt when the Medicare Reform Act went through, I believe that was 2007, and according to those Bible thumping, God speaking to my heart, the Lord's moving on my heart, Christians on the right said it's going to save $1.5 billion a year. The truth was it cost the elderly people in this country $7.5 billion more than what they were paying. And they cannot negotiate drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies. And you cannot sue the pharmaceutical company without approval from the federal government for the damage and the harm these toxic things do to you. Let me say this. You know, when you see those commercials on TV, Dr. Carly, that say, you know, take this drug. You know, if you're feeling depressed, oh, and the side effects could be brain bleed, stroke, heart attack, vomiting, diarrhea, flu-like symptoms. You know, your legs could curl up. You know, fingers could start growing out of your ears. They tell all this stuff, and this got approved, it's safe,
yeah,
use on the public. And here's what you need to understand. These are not side effects. This is what this drug is exactly intended to do.
Yes.
It isn't going to cure depression. It isn't going to make you feel better. It isn't going to make your problem go away. What they are telling you of our side effects is exactly what that drug has been engineered to do and will do to a minimum of 40% of the population if they take it.
Well,
these are drugs for death.
Right. That's what I've been saying for years, is that my profession has been so corrupted that they're now creating disease and giving drugs that cure nothing but cause further problems. And in fact, exactly true what you're saying. In fact, it always amazes me when I hear those commercials. I find myself screaming at the TV, yeah, I'll take two. I mean, how insane is that? And that's why they talk about pre-existing conditions, because Big Pharma cures nothing. Of course, what they don't tell you is that Big Pharma, through the vaccines initially, especially, but then all the other drugs on top of it are actually creating disease. And it's part of the depopulation plan as well. While they're killing us softly, they're just, basically putting us through unbelievable suffering and torment and charging us for it. One thing I wanted to ask you is, who pays a hospitalist? This is a hospital-employed physician or physician group?
Well, they contract with the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And the problem they have found with their little system they set up, that unless they have 2 to 3 new doctors each year join and pay their fees to join their hospitalist group, they don't quite make enough money to meet their overhead. So they're working on that by seeing where they could increase insurance billing. What possible tests are they missing? What possible drugs are they not making sure are administered that might be helpful to that patient, Dr. Carly, that maybe they just missed it? And
let me ask you a question that just occurred to me. Mm-hmm. This is very important. Who initially calls in the hospitalist? Because if a patient is admitted to a hospital by, say, their internal medicine physician, how does it happen that all of a sudden the hospitalist is in charge of their care? And I'm sure if it's done, that this is, you know, basically behind the scenes, just something that's known that's going to happen. Does the internal medicine physician call in the hospitalist, or where does that hospitalist come from?
It's, well, they're, like I say, they're on contract, they're on staff at the hospital. So the minute you're admitted, they immediately insert themselves into your case, and they'll show up in your room, and they'll say, you know, I'm hospital so-and-so, I'm one of their hospitalists, and I'm here to make sure you get the best care possible, blah, 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 blah. They never tell that patient, I just kicked your primary care physician off your case. And your primary care physician, unless he or she is pressed, will not tell you, the hospitalist replaced me when I put you in here.
So what would happen? Have you ever had a situation where the patient had enough wherewithal or the family who possibly was sitting there to say, thank you very much, but we don't want you. We're happy with our primary care. What happens
if
that happens?
You're asked to leave the hospital.
You're what?
You're asked to leave the hospital, yes. They will tell you that we are contracted to the hospital to care for you as an inpatient. This is how this hospital is operated, and if, you know, that's not acceptable to you, please tell us where you would like to be transferred to, and we will get you there.
Wow.
Yeah, so either you come under the hammer there, or you just don't. Now, how about this guardianship thing? This hospitalist, I guarantee you, has APS, like I say, a predatory guardian or two or three or six. Many attorneys, we call them payrollers, they simply file motions into these guardianship cases. They don't have to win, doesn't make any difference. They're never labeled as vexatious litigants or frivolous litigants, but every time they file into the case, they get to tap the estate for X amount of dollars. And so all of these people are on speed dial, and that's not a joke. They are. And they are notified immediately. We have an elderly person in here showing signs of dementia. We need APS. APS runs in, notifies their predatory guardian that they work with, or whichever, they may have several. That predatory guardian runs right into the first probate court he or she can get to, issues an emergency petition, and says, person so-and-so is up here in the hospital. They've got dementia, it's documented by the hospital, and they are in harm's way, they are in danger. There are allegations of abuse and neglect. We have reports that they've been beaten and starved, and there's nothing to support this. And 95% of the time, these charges leveled against family members are found later to be totally unfounded and without merit.
Not to mention the fact that all the hospitalist has to do as soon as the old person is admitted is give them some drug which causes dementia, like any of the psychotropic drugs, especially Haldol. They give them a few doses of that, they don't remember who they are. Next thing you know, they're labeled as demented. And, of course, the fact that the family brought the person to the hospital is proof that they're not, you know, against the person getting well. Why would somebody abuse an elderly person and then bring him to the hospital? That's ridiculous.
The GAO, the Government Accountability Office, has been tracking this for 12 years now, 13 years maybe. And according to them, in 96% of the cases, physical abuse, including sexual abuse, of elderly individuals is more likely to happen in a nursing home, in an assisted living facility, or in a caretaker position where a stranger is brought into the home. But yet the family is the one who gets nailed. And my objection to this, Dr. Carley, is this. This has destroyed these people. It has destroyed their good name, their reputation. It has crushed them. It has ruined them financially. Robert Kessler out in Ohio, works with the Attorney General's office out there. He said it is the emotional rape of the family that is almost as bad as the abuse of the elderly individual. None of this is about saving these elderly people from familial abuse or anything of the kind. These people have been targeted because they own property, they have investments, they have savings, they have liquid assets, and somebody else wants them. Now, when you become a ward of the state, even under an emergency petition, that guardian now owns you. You are a human unit. And everything you have, it now belongs to that guardian, and they begin immediately changing title to property, moving accounts, crushing trust, throwing out wills, throwing out estate planning, medical directives, durable powers of attorney. They start begin taking everything. They go in the home. They ransack it, take anything out of it that is worth anything. They are supposed to supply an inventory to the court. It seldom ever happens, and when it does, it is always omitting several valuable items that the family knew the victim had. They take every, they sell their personal items, they sell their vehicles, they sell their houses, they sell their furniture, they rape their bank accounts, they go through, they take everything. And everybody's getting a piece of the pie.
And as a matter of fact, I'm sure that the elderly person, if they have any mental capacity whatsoever, are so in shock by all of this, and I'm sure that does cause a rift between the elderly person and their children or other family members, because they're wondering, why didn't you protect me from this predatory monster? Why did you allow this to happen?
Well, what they do is hold these people in isolation, which they are not supposed to do. Virtually every state has statutes prohibiting the isolation of the elderly. But this is immediately what happens. That guardian goes right in and says they're not to have any visitors. They take their cell phone. They won't let them have a phone in their room. They can't have mail. They can't, nothing. They're held in isolation. At the same time, these jackasses go in and tell these people that are already terrified, your family doesn't care. They're the ones that put you here. Right. It's your own fault you're here. They don't want to see you. They don't care what happens to you. And they abuse these people in this way, and they do this over and over and over. And this is well known to our governors, to our state legislature, to our federal legislators, to the federal government, to the Department of Justice, to the Department of Health and Human Services, the FBI. They all know that this is an organized criminal ring operating in every state that is distributing, redistributing the assets of the last generation that has any real wealth from them to these predators. They won't do a damn thing about it.
Just as they're aware of the global pedophile ring involving many of the high-level government officials, just as they're aware of what's happening to the children put into CPS, I mean, the corruption and fraud and pure evil that's happening at every level of our government is so daunting, and that's why I do my shows, because I'm trying to wake people up and make them realize that if this hasn't happened to you yet, it's coming. And if you want to stop this, I suggest you stop it or do whatever you can to stop it before it happens to you. Because once it happens to you, you're on the floor. I mean, you can't even imagine such level of evil and corruption and fraud, especially as you're talking about in the case of these poor elderly people. I mean, they may be going to the hospital for some small thing, which could be easily managed at home. Especially, that's why I always talk about colloidal silver, which kills every bug it's ever been tested on. If somebody has, pneumonia or something, flood them with colloidal silver. Don't bring them to the hospital, because once they're in there, it's over. They will steal everything they have, and then they will kill them. Because, as a matter of fact, another thing that I have found in my research over the years is under the probate law in every state, if somebody is killed in the hospital, should the family decide to sue, which is almost impossible to get a lawyer to take the case to begin with, because since they're not working, they have no worth. But if they die, the family would get less than if they were just maimed for life. So there's also an incentive for them to kill people. But they're going to take everything they have first. And they do, just like you said, they do a wallet biopsy. They find out how much is the person worth. They accrue a medical bill around that amount, also including the guardian's salary and the hospital's salary. They all make sure that they can all pay themselves. And then, it's best to kill the person.
Well, they pay themselves out of the victim's estate. That predator guardian, those attorneys who file into the case, APS, everybody's getting a piece of the pie.
Right. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned, folks.
Bombs over Baghdad.
Back with Sailing America, folks. Sorry, my electricity just went out. So the station called me back on my laptop. Strange things always happen when I'm doing my show. Please continue, Marty, with where you were going before the break.
Thing happened. Yeah, I've had exactly the same thing happen on my shows in the last week. The electricity goes totally out, shuts my computer down, my phone down for about 30 seconds, and it all comes back on.
Yeah, I guess we're getting on somebody's nerves. Okay, go ahead.
I think maybe. Well, anyway, so what we're talking about, I want to tell you, when I first got into this, what got me into this was Sarah Harvey out in New York. And a radio show host I know out there had emailed me and said, would you interview this lady? They're holding her husband hostage, and I thought, okay, I'll do it. I listened to this, you know, did an interview with her, and I absolutely was stunned at what this woman was saying about what they had done to her husband. You going to break? Dr. Carly?